Next time you need a book from the library, it may be as close as your PC. Internet giant Google announced a few months ago that it was working with a number of libraries to make their collections available online. That involves scanning and digitizing billions of pages of materials. Those books are now beginning to appear in search results, though because of copyright restrictions, most are available only as excerpts. In the world of the printed page, readers of history have become accustomed to books of a certain size and bulk. That may no longer be the case with the emergence of micro-histories, books of nonfiction that focus on a single subject in great detail. Seattle librarian Nancy Pearl likes to call these books one-word wonders. She's a regular guest on this program, and she spoke with Morning Edition Steve Inske.
This would seem to be, from the size of the stack of books in front of us, a rather popular concept of picking one little thing.
It is, because one of the things that happens when you read these books is that you get the benefit of authors who are so enthusiastic about their subject that it's like infectious.
Now, the basic format here is you take some substance, and the more humble the substance, the better, and you show how it is affected or been affected by all sorts of things throughout the history of the world. I'm holding a book in my hands called Salt, A World History.
Yes, Mark Kurlansky. If I could have dinner with anybody in the world, I would think Mark Kurlansky would be a wonderful person to have at a dinner party, because he's interested in all of these very humble things, and then proceeds to show us how they're not so humble in the end after all. So there is Salt, which of course had this huge, huge effect on world history, but Cod, A Biography of the Fish That Changed the World, is one that is absolutely riveting to read. Now, who would have thunk?
You're talking about this book, Cod, also by Mark Kurlansky.
Yes, and it begins with at a time when there were so many cod in the Atlantic that it almost seemed as though you could walk on the cod that was in the water. And because cod are bottom feeders, they're very easy to catch, and they were overfished, and now cod are in a very difficult position. But you couldn't have done all of those great explorations without cod, because cod, again, could be cured and could be eaten on those long sea voyages.
Let's talk about some more of these in the stack of books in front of us.
Okay.
Here.
One of my favorites, I have to say, is Cosmopolitan. Now, Cosmopolitan is the story of running a bar by a guy named Toby Ciccini, who owns a bar in New York City called Passerby. And I have to say, I never thought that I would ever be interested in reading about the inner workings of a bar or about how this guy came to perfect the Cosmopolitan, that drink.
The drink?
Yes.
Oh.
So this book just plops you into a day in the life of Passerby, the bar, and everything you ever wanted to know or never thought that you would want to know, but in the end do want to know about running a bar, about the kind of ingredients, about how a bartender feels when you come in and order those drinks like grasshoppers or those fancy drinks. And I think that that's one of the joys of reading, is that you get the benefit of somebody else's love of the minutiae of life. I mean, the biography, you have the David Bodanis book there, E equals MC squared.
The Biography of the World's Most Famous Equation. That
yes,
would be the subtitle.
That would be the subtitle. And indeed, when you think about it, E equals MC squared is something that we just sort of accept without really understanding what each part of that equation means. And so what David Bodanis does in this book is go over what the E, energy, the M, mass, what the C, celeritas. Did you know that celeritas?
No.
C, that means speed. Now, we take that E equals MC as the speed of light, but it actually comes from the Latin word for speed, which is also found in celerity, doing things in a hurry.
Okay.
So E equals MC squared. So in that, you get all this wonderful history of science, but it's the kind of thing, when I finished David Bodanis' book, I had this list of about 100 other people and things that I now felt compelled to go read about, because he makes them all sound so interesting and then puts the equation back together and makes us understand how it works.
Now, there's another book here by one of my favorite architecture writers. It's One Good Turn, A Natural History of the Screwdriver and the Screw by Witold Rybczynski.
Again, who on earth would have ever thought to pick up a screwdriver and wonder about how it ever came to be and then come up with that great title, One Good Turn?
Well, how has the screw changed history?
Well, how has it not changed history? I mean, putting things together is much easier with a screw to screw them together than the old way of having to fit things together just by
shaping them so they fit together,
so
like notched
together.
Logs or
yes.
something like
oh,
that.
You're so good.
The next book we have here is called Zero, A Biography of a Dangerous Idea by Charles Seif. Why is Zero a dangerous idea?
Zero is a dangerous idea because with Zero, you can make anything equal anything else. And one of the things that Charles Seif does in this book is prove logically that Winston Churchill is a carrot.
Wait a minute, I just don't understand this.
You must read this book. And what Charles Seif does in there, and this is a book that really is for just the interested reader. You don't have to have any math background. For many, many years, Zero came from the Egyptians and didn't begin in Western mathematics. And for centuries, millennia, Western mathematics refused to accept the notion of zero. And it is absolutely a fascinating overview of how counting systems gradually came to acknowledge the importance of zero, and then how scary zero is.
I'm looking in the index, and it says, there's an entry here, Churchill Winston, proof that he is a carrot, page 217. I'll just have to read this.
You will. You'll love them.
Nancy Pearl, thanks very much.
Thank you, Steve.
It's
my
great
pleasure.
To talk to you again.
Want Nancy Pearl's complete list of her favorite microhistories? Go to our website at npr.org. This is Morning Edition from NPR News. With Steve Inskeep, I'm Renee Montaigne.